Well, as I have already said, I'm not a big fan of calling Christ the King, because I feel like this human title is a little bit too, is not nearly broad enough. Even though I'm laughing at myself as I say that, so you can disagree with me if you want, feel free to do that. You're always free to disagree with me. Because we've heard already this morning so much imagery calling Christ King. So it's there, it's in Scripture, it's in our music, it's in the Nicene Creed, it's everywhere. But I want us to think about Christ in terms that are somewhat bigger than just this one title. I think even as you listen to Jesus' discussion with Pilate that we heard today, I think Jesus uses that term kingdom as something Pilate would understand, and not necessarily as a description for who he is or what has been created. Now, we've all been in situations where we have said there simply are no words. We can't describe the moment, the event, with words that we know, because all the words we can think of are inadequate. Even calling Christ the Eternal doesn't necessarily spark in our imagination what we're actually talking about. Pastor Tom knows this. This is something that I know as well. If you ask a child waiting to open presents until their pastor parent gets home from church on Christmas morning, they will tell you that it takes an eternity. And of course, many of you know as well that when you are waiting for the doctor to call with test results, we so often say things like, it felt like an eternity, the wait. There are simply things that we can't quite wrap our minds around, and yet they are the truth of our lives as God's people. This week, the lectionary people stopped short of Pilate's question, what is truth? But I added that verse back in because truth about things in this life can be a little bit slippery. I've been singing the following line from the music Hamilton for the last few days. Actually, I haven't been singing it in my head because I can't rap, because I can't. But I'll read to you the words of the line. The line is this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And when I meet Thomas Jefferson, I'm going to compel him to include women in the sequel. Because truth is so often defined by those in charge. The Constitution states that all men are created equal, and that sounds very wide and inclusive, but depending on who you ask or in what era you ask the question, it can mean many different things. It might mean the colonists. It may only mean white landowners. It might mean all of humanity. But for much of our history, it didn't mean slaves or during that time. And it seems that the song was probably right, that it didn't actually include women, except if they had a landowning husband or father that could speak for them. Of course, we know that this line in the Constitution has had its definition expanded throughout U.S. history, which also means that the definition of this truth that is self-evident has changed as well. I use this example because, as so often happens, as Jesus and Pilate interact, they may seem to be using similar language, but they are talking about very different things. Pilate's thoughts are on what he knows and understands. He understands earthly kingdoms. Jesus' thoughts are on what God is doing. If we think back to the beginning of John's gospel, we heard those familiar words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Jesus understands his eternal place and his eternal position in terms that Pilate can't recognize. We see that throughout John's gospel, Jesus uses I am statements to help us understand who he is and what he has come to do. Yet all of these descriptions still fall short because there is so much more that we cannot yet understand. Pilate's question of what is truth may simply just be the wrong question. The correct question is, who is truth? Jesus has said, I am the way and the truth and the life. It is through Jesus that we get some understanding of who God is and what God's truth is for us. And what happens so often in Scripture is that no one understands what it means that God is standing before them in the person Jesus, that the truth is embodied in Jesus' life and action. Following is a quote about Dietrich Bonhoeffer that was shared by a colleague of mine. In 1933, when Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany, German theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer gave a radio broadcast on the leader and the individual. The word for leader in German, of course, is Führer. The authorities recognized just how subversive Bonhoeffer was being and cut him off before he could finish. But Bonhoeffer was able to return to the subject in a lecture later, sometime later. In the broadcast, Bonhoeffer argued that no mere human could have ultimate authority over other humans. Ultimate authority lies with God. Bonhoeffer said, the individual is responsible before God, and this solitude of man's position before God, this subjection to an ultimate authority, is destroyed when the authority of the leader or of the office is seen as ultimate authority. The fearful danger of the present time is that above the cry for authority, be it of the leader or of an office, we forget that man stands alone before the ultimate authority. And that anyone who lays violent hands on man here is infringing eternal laws and taking upon himself superhuman authority, which will eventually crush him. We so often forget that the ultimate authority lies with God. We so often forget that each one of us will come to judgment before God for the things we have done and left undone in our lives. We believe that through the cross those sins will ultimately be forgiven, but this doesn't mean that we will not face judgment first. What is forgiveness if we aren't actually repentant of the things we have done? Or to quote Bonhoeffer again from a different place, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. To know the living Christ, I think we have to struggle to understand the eternal God. To hear the words from Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. To struggle with our own limited language and thought to try to begin to understand who God is. As we hear from Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Truth that Christ reveals is found first in the person Jesus and then in community. It is found in discipleship. It is found in the messiness of life. As flawed as religion may be, the argument may need to be that truth is found in religion, not because religion is truth, but because we can't fully encounter Christ on a spiritual quest or alone on our own journey. Christ is revealed in community when the faithful are gathered. Christ is revealed in the lives of God's people. Christ is revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit whenever two or three are gathered together. Discipleship isn't a solo act for any of us. So on this day, when we celebrate the eternal Christ, we are forced to use language that we understand. We are forced to use language that may seem limiting or even inadequate. But Jesus has given us a broad range of descriptors for who he is. And everything that Jesus does points us directly to God the Father. In Jesus, we see one who will kneel down and wash the feet of his disciples. We see one who has compassion for those in need and heals them. We see one who pulls his disciples aside again and again to teach them about who he is and who God is for them. We see one who will eat with sinners and tax collectors, the people on the margin. We see one who goes to the cross, dies for each of us, so that there is no place on earth or in hell or in heaven that has not been touched by the presence of God in God's eternal word. If you want to call Christ King, then you have to be ready to talk about all the ways that he isn't like any human king we've ever known. If you want to talk about who Jesus is, then the definitions will have to be wide and varied. They will point us to the eternal, the beginning, the end, who is and who was and who is to come. But they will also point to the person Jesus, who is our Savior, who is our way, who is our truth, who is our life, who is the meal we share here at the table, who is our mirror showing us who God is and who God has made us to be. Yes, we see dimly. Yes, our language is lacking, but our God is not. In Christ, we have been shown more grace than we can understand. In Christ Jesus, we have been shown the eternal, even if we don't fully understand it. Amen.